Hello and welcome to the Male Mental Health Podcast. The audience for this podcast is any man, but also for any woman or non-binary folk that wish to get a glimpse into the struggles of men. This podcast is intended to heal men so they may be more patient, kind, understanding, loving, forgiving, and nurturing. The tortured male is prone to anger, violence, and toxicity. Men are nearly three times as likely as women to become dependent on alcohol and frequent drug use. Nearly three quarters of adults who go missing each year are men. Men are 1.5 times more likely to be the victim of a violent crime. Men are 3.5 times more likely to commit suicide. It's time for that to change. I'm your host, Jordan Trubikoff. I've done everything from being a dishwasher to a successful entrepreneur. At the age of 16, I was admitted to the local psychiatric hospital and have suffered from clinically diagnosed mental illnesses my whole life. I've spent hundreds of hours in professional therapy, formal training in meditation, I've read dozens of self-help resources, and have tried just about every combination of medications out there. I want to stress that I am not a professional psychotherapist and can only share the research I do, the training I've received, and the lessons I've learned. If you are thinking of hurting yourself or others, turn off this podcast immediately and go and seek help. End of discussion. And even if you are perfectly happy and healthy, you should have a professional support system. And now let's get to the topic at hand, being gay and no longer married to a woman. I'm joined today with Ryan, a good friend of mine. He's a fucking sweetheart. Ryan, what do you do for a living?
Good question. I am a mechanical engineer.
Okay.
That's my profession. Yep.
And you went to school for that, or?
I did.
Up at NAU, right?
Northern Arizona University, yeah.
And then what do you study?
I studied mechanical engineering.
Did you study anything else before that? Or do you just knew exactly what you wanted?
Oh, no. I studied political science, secondary education with an emphasis in English.
You're like, fuck that.
Yeah. I went from lower pay to higher to even higher and then ended there.
No, that doesn't sound like a bad... But you love what you do, right?
I do. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you feel like you missed out by not going into education or poli sci or anything like that?
Nope, never.
Okay. Mm-mm. So you love what you do?
I do.
All right, good. So as the title of the episode describes, you were born gay.
Mm-hmm.
And how was your upbringing? How did you come to marry a woman?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good question. this is always hard. So I grew up in a lower middle class family that was very loving. I never had, people often, think about gay people growing up and maybe something happened to them, but no, right. Nothing ever happened. It was just, I had a twin brother, an older brother. I have a younger brother and an older half sister. Grew up in a fairly larger family.
Okay.
Had a lot of love.
So how many siblings? Three?
Four.
Four. Okay.
Yeah. It was a good time growing up, but I was always a little bit different.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so you didn't go hungry. You had a beautiful childhood.
Mm-hmm. Lots of time playing in the dirt, throwing mud rocks at other friends. So
So you said that you were different.
Mm-hmm.
Not only what made you feel different, but how did you inside recognize that something was different?
It's hard to look back on your life and pick out the things that, were truly unique versus just the general human experience where we're all different, but if I think about it, if I look back and, hindsight's 2020, I was always more shy, more reserved. I wouldn't say I was, I wouldn't go so far to say that I was like more effeminate, or I was a certain way. Like I didn't have a lisp. I didn't. Like I was just a quiet, like a quiet, shy kid. But,
and so, cause a lot of times, and this is just coming from like a straight, you know, male fucking run of the mill white guy, perspective. Like I would always hear, like, at least with some gay men, or, you know, any non-binary folk in general or anything like that. And I always fuck this up. LGBTQ?
Yeah, you can say, it's difficult to say LGBTQ plus or LGBTQI plus. So I always try to preface it and say, when I say LGBT, I'm really referring to the entire community.
But, right. Okay. Okay.
And that way you don't have to keep fumbling over LGBTQIA plus and
yeah. Fair enough. Well, I guess what I was getting at is, like, for some folks, there's like a catalyst moment where they'll, you know, be 12 or 13 and they'll recognize something that, you know, that they found attractive in the same sex. So obviously that's not the same experience for everyone. You know, like for me, it was like, oh my God, like, Laura Croft and Tomb Raider. Wow. You know, like,
yeah.
And it's always a spectrum, but you know, like if you just, you said you were a little different, and what made you different was that you were more quiet and reserved.
I was more quiet, reserved. I mean, being a little kid, I wasn't, I don't think I was too, I don't know. Sex wasn't a big thing. So it wasn't until I was a teenager that I really realized, like, oh, I don't like girls.
Right. And so did you come to that assumption almost rather than seeing an attractive man and saying, oh, I'm gay? And it was more of a, I don't think I'm attracted to women.
It was just more of a, oh, I'm not attracted. Like I've never been attracted to women in a sexual way. I think women are beautiful and and fantastic and funny. And I love women, but, I am not attracted to them. And I think that was more of the realization. It was like, oh, what am I attracted to? And then I realized, oh, I like dudes.
Sure. Okay. Okay. Yeah. And so getting back to kind of your family life, right? Yeah. You recognized that inside yourself in high school. But you ended up marrying a woman, which lets me know that there was, you know, you basically had to lie to yourself and you were kind of put into a box that you couldn't escape. Well, so
there was some internal conflict for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess I'll go back to what led to that in my childhood. I think my parents, you know, we moved around a little bit, and in middle school, I think my parents wanted us to have a sense of community, and church was like that outlet.
Right.
So
okay.
I think that's when, like, I remember church becoming a more big deal. It was like, oh yeah, we're going to this church in Sunnyside. I think it was Calvary Chapel or something like that, and going to youth groups and Sunday school and sitting in the basement and talking about why Harry Potter was bad. And, you know, those kinds of things where it was like, oh, cool, but I still love Harry Potter.
And that's when I knew I was gay. Church is not for me.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. It's okay to bend some rules. All right. No. So I think that was really the big deal was with my family was my parents wanted us to have good, positive aspects, and there were positive people in our lives that were going to keep us out of trouble. And church was kind of that avenue. But I think the real struggle was that I was gay and trying to navigate that world where it was very anti-gay.
Right.
Especially at the time. I mean, we're talking pre-marriage equality. So that was kind of a big deal. It was like, oh yeah, there's this force that's fighting against Christianity, and it's the homosexuals.
It's the gay agenda.
Yeah, exactly. As they're trying to corrupt your children, but hey, I'm already corrupted from the womb. So
it's like carrier pigeons, and you guys are like sending each other coded. Yeah. Like, this is what we're doing this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for you, religion in your life, did it feel oppressive? Or did you get that sense of community and love at it, but it was still kind of like this internal
No, I bought into it. And I think that was the big deal, is I really bought into it. I was a devout evangelical Christian growing up in high school. Like, that was the big thing. I dated a girl, who was very devout as well. Like, wow. She's very sweet. but it was a perfect excuse to not be, experimental with her, because it was like, oh, we're saving room for the Holy Spirit and all of that.
Okay.
I was like, okay. But yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So,
yeah. I was really, like I said, I was really bought into it. It was an important part of my life.
Okay.
Prayer, devotional, like being a Christian and being in, you know, in relationship with Jesus, was kind of a thing.
And but if it brought you in, or, you know, I mean, I guess.
It brought meaning to my formative years, which was nice. And it brought a lot of great people into my life. Like, I have a lot of good friends from then, that I, you know, still have today, but yeah.
That's, yeah. And I don't feel like, well, and what the fuck do I know? But you know, to me, it always seems like, for folks who are gay or, you know, not conventional, whatever the fuck that means, that religion is like oppressive as shit, you know? And
I didn't come out in the church. So if I had tried to come out, that would have been a much more traumatizing experience, right? I imagine. Yeah.
But I mean, so it was easier to lie to yourself than it was to be persecuted?
Yeah, I don't even know if I was lying. Well, yes, I was lying to myself. So I had a different thought process about it. It was always that I was gay. Well, not that I was gay. It was that I was, gosh, it's been so long since I've thought about this.
So this is a good exercise for you too.
Ooh, it hurts my brain. I think my thinking was more along the lines of, it's okay for other people to be gay. I was always of that opinion. Like, my ex-wife and I would go to prides and things like that and just show support. And had friends that were gay, that were ex-Christians. And I always thought it was fine for other people, but it's not what God wanted in my life. And that's what I told my ex-wife before we got married. I was like, hey, I'm attracted to men, but I don't think that's what God wants for me. And she was totally willing to work with me on that. And
really?
Yeah. Yeah. So
I mean, she knew you were gay before you guys got married.
Mm-hmm.
And so her role, or what she felt, was maybe like to help you not be gay. How did you know?
Well, I was 18, 19. Yeah. When I first started dating her, I had met her at youth group in church in high school. But yeah, I mean, 18, 19, I was a pretty stupid kid. So I thought I knew everything. And
she was 18, 19 as well.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we had different thoughts of what life was and the importance of relationships and how it meant to be sexual as virgins at 18, thinking that that was, you know, we could fix this. No.
That's wild. So she went into the marriage knowing that you were gay.
Yeah.
She,
I believe the verbiage that I used was very churchy. It was, I struggle with same sex attraction. So that's what, that was the words that I said. So it wasn't that, oh, I'm gay. It's I struggle. So it's a different, it puts a whole twist on sin and the concept of it.
Yeah.
Religion.
That's like some wild mental gymnastics right there.
Oh, that's most religions. So.
Yeah. Amen to that. Oh, pun intended. So she knew, and you guys decided to tie the knot anyways.
Yep.
Both families were very happy.
Yeah, none of them knew. No, it was just a secret between me and her. I think, so somewhere in between there, I spent a semester at Christian College in Phoenix, and I did come out to one of my professors there. It was awful. It was very like, well, you know, most homosexuals die of AIDS, and it's God's wrath against the sin, and you need to find a group of strong Christian men that you're not attracted to, lead you out. It's like, okay.
Ugly dudes. I need to go hang out.
Yeah, I need to go hang out. Exactly. So it was like her, him, this girl that I had met, who was really fun, named Kenny, who could tell I was gay, and she like squeezed it out of me. Oh God, she was fun. Those are three people for like many, 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 many years. Yeah.
And how long were you and your wife together? Or ex-wife?
Oh man, you want me to do math?
2 year, 5 year, 10 year.
It was like 5 year. I don't know. We got divorced in 2015. So yeah, got married in 2009.
Yeah.
Dated for a year and a half before that. Yeah.
Only a year and a half.
Oh, God. But you're near like 19, 20. That's your entire life. I got married when I was 21. So, yeah, barely 21.
And so I'm going to ask a question. You can tell me to fuck off. But did you guys have a sexual relationship at all?
Yeah, definitely. Like in the start, for sure. Yeah. I think when you're in your early 20s, you're horny. So, yeah.
And so was that disgusting for you? Is that, you know, how
let's just say there was a lot of mental gymnastics. Okay. but we made it work for a little while until it didn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that, so you made it work for a while and then it didn't. So did you guys at a certain point just kind of decide it wasn't for you to be intimate in that nature?
Retrospect. You know, a lot of things happened in life. I mean, you grow up in your 20s, right? So my mid-20s, I started going back to school to become an engineer, right? Because, you know, 20s was an evolution of education and relationships.
Education, relationships, and religion.
And religion, yeah, exactly. So... yeah, I went back to school. Things got stressful. I was doing engineering school, and it was like relationship stuff was kind of taking a back burner.
Right.
And I started to realize like, oh, is this what I really want? And she started to realize this is not what I want. And so, you know, I think it came to a mutual like, oh, this isn't fair to either of us.
Right. That's fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
Like it took a long time, but for you to at least have a partner that, that's just so wild. Like, I feel like that's atypical of something.
Yeah, she's super sweet. She's like, oh God, now she's in like a ska punk rock band and playing she's a badass. She plays anything with strings. So most of the time she does like a viola or a violin. Yeah, like an orchestral like touch.
Yellow card.
Too.
Yeah. She's in yellow card. Does she wear checkerboard?
I don't know, man. I just know that like we won't go there. But she's a badass chick.
Yeah. Is she remarried? Is she?
Yep, she's remarried now. Married an old friend from high school. So, okay. Yeah, she's doing all right.
And so now you are remarried.
Yes.
To a beautiful man.
Yes.
Brian,
he's my first husband. Yeah,
my first husband. between you guys deciding to get a divorce and meeting Brian and getting kind of serious with Brian, I know I keep like trying to squeeze like fucking dates out of you, but like, is that like a year? Is that another 5 years? How long have you and Brian been together?
Since 2015.
Okay,
so Jen and I got a divorce in mid 2015, but we had been separated for like a year before. It takes a while. Fortunately, we also had a covenant marriage in the state of Arizona, which is also more difficult to get out of. The Christian rite.
What is that?
It means that you can't get a divorce without going through couples counseling and all these other things. It's supposed to be like a more intense religious marriage certificate, but if there is like a little caveat at the very end that actually you can get divorced if both parties agree to it. So there was like a little bit of work to get around all of that. But
Like this is written into law?
Yeah, it's in Arizona's law.
Fucked
it's
up.
Called a covenant marriage. Yeah. Weird. I know. Arizona's very religious.
Is that in any other states?
I don't know if it's in any other states, but it is definitely an Arizona thing.
Yeah. I know firsthand.
It is definitely an Arizona thing.
So you guys were able to kind of like skip through that because you'd agreed.
Yeah. I mean, that was the real blessing there was, you know, she and I were both on the same page. There was no arguments about money or finances. It was like, all right, we're selling the house and splitting the funds and we each take our own debt with us and take your car. I take my car and we're gone.
Thank God.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah.
You also just said that was a blessing.
I know. I was waiting for you to pick up on that.
So you and Brian immediately.
Kind of immediate. It was a few months of being single. But then I found Brian on a dating app.
It really?
Sounds very Which popular one? Amongst gay men.
Which one, Ryan?
I don't know. No, Brian is absolutely sweet, and it was a blessing to use the same word twice in 2 minutes. No, just to find him, he's fantastic. I love him. But yeah.
And now you guys own a house together.
Yep.
You got a Labradoodle. Awesome
yeah. Labradoodle house. Yeah, no. Typical gay folk. A couple of Subarus in the driveway. Yeah.
And so how is your mental health now compared to, I mean, the 20s are a fucked up time for everybody. Yeah,
exactly.
Right? But you had an additional struggle of not only your sexuality being stigmatized in basically every culture on earth, except for a few.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're free of that.
Right. Yeah. I'd say my mental health pre coming out was pretty poor. I mean, there was a lot of self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
Self-doubt, self like loathing about like why is it that me that I have to feel these way these ways about men when I just want to be married to my wife,
right.
I just want to be, you know, like I a great life with her. I mean, we had a nice house, we had a couple of dogs, like it was great, and she was my best friend, but I just wasn't attracted to her, and I think that was the real struggle, was, you know, with my internal stuff was like, God, why did you do this to me?
Right.
But if you did do this to me, then there better be a good reason. And it turned out there wasn't.
And what's so funny to me is like, not funny, but fucked up is like, people think being gay is a choice. Mm-hmm. Like, why the fuck would you choose to be gay? In the modern world, it is getting better. But, you know, like, it's such an additional burden. And I hate saying that word because for folks to come out and feel liberated is a beautiful thing. But the fact that they even need to come out and it be this huge hurdle.
Right. I didn't. And I absolutely didn't choose to be gay. That's the thing. I spent a lot of time struggling with that. Like, I didn't choose this. Why? Why am I chosen to be gay? But once I did come out, I think that's when things, I don't know, just my, like my self-worth and my thoughts about who I am and even self-love really came about. It was like, oh, I didn't choose to be gay, but I choose to be me. And that is really good. Wow. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you even said once you used the word liberating, you know, like that's kind of release yourself of the burden. And to me, for what I've seen in gay individuals is some of them have to make a choice where it's like, it's me or my entire family, mm-hmm. or me mm-hmm. or my military service or my job or, mm-hmm. you know, shit like that. So to have to make that choice, gay individuals and queer folk, and I mean, are some of the smartest, strongest, and fucking hilarious people I've ever met in my life, because basically they've been like pushed through an extruder and came out the other side basically being like, this is who I am. This is, I didn't choose this. Fuck off if you don't like it. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I love you guys so much. It's because you guys truly know who you are in some aspects. Obviously there's stuff you're always going to learn about yourself, but yeah. You've had to make the choice is live a lie and kind of suffer internally or be free. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And everybody's different, right? Like everybody goes through a different story and has a different idea of coming out. Like and I'm not alone in being married at some point too, and being gay. Like I've got friends that have also been married. They're much older. So it doesn't happen as much nowadays as right. it probably did at one time.
Thank God. Stuff's starting to change.
Which is another part of it. It's interesting to see the story of younger folk like coming out in high school, realizing who they are or experimenting or, you know, just being able to say like, I'm going to try this out and see if it works, see if right. it's me, you know, God, I wish I had that. But I'm also very grateful for the life that I had. I'm very grateful to be where I am today and who I am. So I also don't want to take any of it back, but you know, it's so great to see other people be able to like, just be themselves at a younger age. And I hope that they, you know, find out what that means for them.
Right.
Before they get married to someone. Right.
And I mean, that's a beautiful story of America right now is, you know, the acceptance and the, you know, I mean, it's getting better, but alcohol for the LGBTQ community, you know, they're 90% more likely to use alcohol and drugs than their heterosexual counterparts. That's from the American Addiction Centers .org website. And then NBC, there's a recent report that came out that a third of all young gay people have attempted suicide, which is just so depressing to think about these individuals who feel so squeezed by society and others that they need to resort to finding some way out. And whether that's through substance abuse or suicide, that's so depressing.
Yeah, those numbers are very striking. And a lot of it has to do with just societal pressures, bias, family situation that just lead to increased pressure on LGBTQ people. I mean, we don't have a federal blanket protection for employment or housing. Right. So that means in many states, including Arizona, you could be fired just for being gay, and yeah. that's perfectly legal.
Right.
You know, you could right. be kicked out of your apartment, your lease ended because you are in a relationship with someone who's the same sex, and that is not right.
Someone you love.
Exactly.
Yeah. For all the talk of love, it seems to be there's a lot of hate from those individuals.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, just the fact, those kinds of facts, which is covers a lot of the U.S. I mean, that puts a lot of pressure on folks to have to hide, and right. you know, and I'd say trans folks in specific mm-hmm. are much more impacted because there's really not a lot of legal protection for them. And so that puts mental weight on you to right. constantly be hiding or constantly being worried about like, am I going to have a job? Am I going to have a place to live? Am I going to get health care? Is my doctor going to turn me away? You know, right. those kinds of things are incredibly stressful. So
as a straight man, mm-hmm. and for anyone listening who is cis, or male, female, whatever, what can, this is like the $1 billion question, right? What can we do to help the movement of And it's not a fucking agenda. It's a movement for equality and for yeah. people to be able to live their lives. It's not fucking hurting you. It's not like they want to come over and like have sex with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Unless you're a gay man. And then if you are, like, fuck yeah, dude, get it. So what can we do? What can I do?
Yeah. Yeah. And this goes for people in the LGBTQ community as well, that I always say just baseline ally behavior is education, just learning more. Like if you want to be an ally, if you want to like help improve the situation, you want to make things better, just listen to other people's stories, listen, right. you know, ask, Google, you know, like sure. learn more. Like that's the first step. And then you have, you know, other steps you can do, like speaking up and advocating for new laws and protections and things like that. But, you know, just starting, just learn more. Yeah.
I mean, coming into this conversation, I had assumptions that I made about your upbringing that weren't even true. Mm. You know, I figured your parents would have been hyper-religious, like, you know, that you would have been oppressed. And on some levels you were, but you know, it's such a unique spectrum of stories for folks. And some of them are fucking awful.
Yeah.
And some of them are beautiful. And so I guess whatever your journey is and what you're saying is, you need to ask that and see where folks are coming from, you know, that these people have families and lovers and passions and distastes, and it's sad that some are marginalized simply because of those. Mm-hmm. Right.
Like yeah.
Somehow I'm celebrated because I'm just some white guy who likes women, you know,
like, celebrated. You're advertised to Jordan.
That's true. Yeah. I, yes.
Joe this Campbell, is America.
This is America. Well, I think that's a good wrapping up point. What we learned today is basically that if to be an ally is you need to listen and learn and at a certain point advocate. You know, it's our role as someone who's even willing to listen to speak up in times where there is vitriol towards this population. And you know, once again, it's all on us, right? If you're at a bar and you hear someone yelling slurs, it's kind of upon you to say something and do something.
Yeah, but also don't put yourself in a situation where I never advocate for people to put themselves in a situation where they could get harmed.
Sure.
If it's like a danger, if someone, right. like we're talking bar, but if you see someone, like, for instance, being harassed at a restaurant, saying, hey, you need to leave because you're making other people uncomfortable as a gay couple. That's a perfect situation where you could right. leverage your privilege and say, hey, that's not okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And at the very least, I guess with a violent situation, like you should at least, if you can't defuse the situation, help the individual leave the mm-hmm. situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just, you know, help in any way you can. Really, is you have to be brave enough to do that. If you see a burning building and you can save someone, run towards it. You know?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what we gotta do. Otherwise and that's what has been being done. You know, folks are getting more vocal about it, more supportive and more educated. So we kinda have to keep the ball rolling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on and talking.
Yeah, thanks for asking and exhibiting basic ally behavior by asking and learning. Yeah,
I'm trying, and I know there's a lot of folks out there that are trying as well too. And so, with that, I want to thank you all. A special thank you to Ryan for coming on. Like I said, that's incredible. Please follow, like, and share this with others. Please engage and follow me on Instagram at Male Mental Health Space Podcast. Spread any of the words that I've quoted or anything that Ryan has said that spoke to you, to anyone that needs to hear it. All I can continue to do is put out the best content I can, but I need your help to spread the word. And if you like this new format, please let me know. I'm going to keep doing it with other folk of varying backgrounds. So I feel like that's the part that I need to play. So I'll keep saying this. This is on us. Let's be the best body, soul, and mind we can be. Being a man, whether straight or gay, non-binary, queer, that comes second. Just be a good person. Thank you all.